Let's pray together as we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, as we are here in this room, we also desire to be in your presence. So we welcome you. We invite you. We invite you to move amongst us, to move in us. We invite you to open us up, make us aware of you. And we invite you to speak to us, to pour your truth into us, and bring us into an encounter with you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our epistle reading for today is from the Epistle of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And notice how it's an invitation to worship. It reads, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 through 8. John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." The setting is in Bethany, a town just a short walk away from Jerusalem. This week I learned that the name Bethany, the first part of that, Bet, is the word for a house. The second part, Ani, some translate affliction or some translate poor. So in other words, this was a town called the House of the Poor, or the Poor House. This was a place where people who didn't have much would live. It was a short walk away, but it was a place provided for those with little. And this gives us some insight into Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I know I've seen them depicted as having great wealth, but maybe, in actuality, they had very little if they lived in the house of the poor. And in this place, they are having a party thrown in Jesus' honor. Now, why might that be? Because just the week before, Lazarus had died. He was in the tomb 4 days, past three. What does that mean? That means that three was the time that they knew for sure someone was dead. Maybe one day dead was possible to come back. 2 days dead, maybe. 3 days dead, definitely not. 4 days dead, definitely not. So Lazarus was in this party. They were throwing a party for Jesus for what he had done. What's coming next, soon, right around the corner, is the triumphal entry, and then Passion Week, the betrayal, and then the crucifixion. So packed right into that moment, right into this time of intense emotion, is this event. A gathering, a party to celebrate Jesus, to thank Jesus, to worship Jesus, to honor Jesus for who he is and what he has done. And we want to be people who worship. Come, let us worship and bow down. Jesus is worthy of our worship. And we're going to see three people worshiping in this text. Now, Mary gets all the attention because she's the one that's more flamboyant. She's the one that's just laying it out there in front of everybody, and she's throwing this essential oil party that was worth a lot of money. But they were all worshiping. Well, except for one. Judas was there. Judas and probably the other disciples were with him, but only Judas is mentioned. What does it tell us about Judas? It says he objected to someone worshiping extravagantly. Judas objected. And why did he do it? John gives us insight. It says that he did this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and helped himself to the money bag that he was in charge of. When we see someone worship, when we ourselves worship, when the community around us worships, we want to be careful of our heart. Where are we focusing? And is an act of worship something that causes us to worship or causes us to complain and become indignant? So acts of worship here in the house of Bethany, the house of poor, Jesus in their midst, overwhelmed with gratitude for what Jesus has done for them. And what has Jesus done for us? The songs that were selected this morning were perfect to go along with this text. So thank you, those who were part of that team putting that together. Three worshipers. The first one we see in the text as we read along in verse 2, we see that it says, Martha served. Let's pause there. That's all that's said about Martha. But as we read that, our minds quickly go to a different text where we see in Luke chapter 10 where Martha was serving at an earlier gathering. When Jesus and the disciples were there with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Martha was quite concerned about all that was going into that day, all the preparations, all the things that needed to be done, all the things that she was involved in, as she was involved in honoring Jesus that day and serving the guests that day. But this day is different. This day, two words, Martha served. Martha served. And is serving Jesus worship? Is serving Jesus and serving Jesus' people and serving Jesus' his congregation, is that worship? I believe we're taught here as this moment in history, in this impending time, right before Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, that this act of worship by Martha is honored here, and her attitude is honored here. Luke chapter 10 describes it this way. But Martha, back then, in that earlier day, she was distracted when she was serving, with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are nervous or anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, notice that Jesus didn't say that serving was unnecessary or serving was a negative thing. Martha was honoring Jesus on this earlier event, too. She was serving Jesus then, but she was worked up. She was anxious. She was concerned. She was not able to enjoy the moment. She was not able to truly focus on Jesus because she was focused on her stuff, her tasks, her agenda. And so it was difficult for her. And we need to be careful here not to be too critical of Martha. We understand that there's things that need to be done, and some of us are wired to be doers. Some of us are given the ability by God to accomplish much, and we recognize that as we serve, we can be serving Jesus. But Martha had to be reminded of it on this day. So let's not be too critical, but let's also not demand that everybody be Martha. I mean, look around. There's a lot of Marthas in this room. People who do and do a lot and serve a lot. But there's also Marys in this room. Look around. You might see some Marys in the room, and they're not taking notes. They're just enjoying the moment. They're just listening intently, sitting at Jesus' feet. And there's maybe a Lazarus in the room, too. He's the one that's sleeping, so wake him up in case he's in your row, too. But Martha was serving in this verse for today with no negative comments. She was serving Jesus as an act of worship. And we serve Jesus when we serve in our acts of worship. Notice that Colossians chapter 3 puts it in this perspective. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So when we serve, whether it's at church, at home, at work, in the community, when we serve others, we're serving Jesus. We're to do the task God has given us with a positive attitude, with a sense of joy. Whether you're someone in the nursery changing diapers or in the kitchen preparing food or cleaning up, or whether you're out in your community serving neighbors who are in need or serving your own children, or whether you're at work honoring the boss or helping the ones who work under you, these are acts of service to people which, when done in the right way, when done as an offering unto the Lord, are actually acts of serving Jesus. Whatever you do unto the least of these, Jesus told in this parable, you do unto me. And so Martha was worshiping. She was serving Jesus, and we are called to worship Jesus in our acts of service. But notice the second person in the setting. It reads, and Lazarus sat. It says in the New International, he reclined at the table with Jesus, but in reality he was probably sitting on his side and kind of sprawled out a little bit like they would sit at the low tables at that time. Lazarus sat. Now my premise to you is that he was worshiping. And we might think, oh, he's just lazy. He's letting Martha and the ladies do all the work. But men never do that. He was actually, but Lazarus was actually doing something good here. Oh, and first we need to not be too critical, because remember, just a few days earlier he was dead. And now he's sitting at this table. He's probably got a t-shirt on that says, I was dead and I lived to tell about it. He's a part of the reason why so many gathered. And he's probably saying, Martha, Martha, I can't help you. Do you know what it means to be dead tired? Well, I have been, so just give me a break here. But what is he really doing? It's not that he's being lazy. It says he's reclining at the table with Jesus. Let me encourage you, friends. We worship Jesus when we serve him, like Martha. But Jesus also wants us to worship like Lazarus and sit with him, recline at the table with him, enjoy his presence, to take a break, to spend time, to listen. To let our hearts be drawn close, to enjoy simply the presence of Christ. Some have called it practicing the presence of sitting and listening, reading God's Word, meditating on God's Word, pouring our heart out to Jesus, letting the Lord speak into the inner parts of our being by the power of the Holy Spirit, letting Him minister to us through His Word, through His truth, as we incline our ear to him. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We want to be like King David, who enjoys sitting in God's presence. And God has given us his written words so that we might use it as a prompting to our thoughts to focus on Jesus. We oftentimes are rushing through life. We oftentimes have our list of to-dos, and then add upon that all the distractions of our culture. And all of a sudden we realize we've spent so little time with Jesus, so little time enjoying Him, listening to Him, hearing His heartbeat. James chapter 4, verse 8 invites us, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. We want to be people who worship by sitting in the presence of Christ. Now, for some it might be morning, for some it might be the evening, for some it might be midday. We each are wired differently, but finding that time when we can sit with God's Word in a place of quietness, pour our hearts out to Him, and let Him speak to us is crucial for us. It's an act of worship. Whether it's like Martha serving, like Lazarus sitting, we are called to worship. But then there's Mary. And Mary, of course, gets a lot of attention here because what she did was seemingly so extravagant. The text says that she took a pint of pure nard or spikenard. A pint of it. Think of a pop bottle. She's pouring that much perfume. I know your essential oils come in little tiny vials, but this was a pint of it. The most expensive thing you could imagine at that time. And she poured it on Jesus' feet, and then wiped His feet with her hair. People were offended in the room, both by the extravagance of the emotion of it and of her touching His feet and pouring that expensive perfume on His feet, and then exposing her hair. A woman's hair at that time was her prize. It was her sign of beauty. It was kept wrapped up in public and only let down in the privacy of her marriage relationship. It was an extreme act of worship that she went through. It wasn't inappropriate, but it was shocking. And then it was expensive. It was shocking in its tenderness. It was prophetic in its picture, what was to happen, because Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She's done this in preparation for my burial." Did she know that Jesus in just less than a week would be crucified? Was it the Holy Spirit prompting her to do this extravagant act of worship now in the last opportunity she had? Was it her heart beating in intense appreciation for Jesus and love for Jesus that prompted it to take this act of tenderness and propheticness and expensiveness? It was a sacrifice. So if we were trying to keep our S's going, Martha served and Lazarus sat, but Mary sacrificed. The text says it was worth, as Judas complained, 300 denarii, 300 days' wages. 300 days' wages. We could call that a year's wages. In one act, in one brief moment, a year's wages poured on Jesus' feet. Maybe we can understand why Judas had a reaction. But what was he really saying as he reacted? He's saying it was a waste to pour that on Jesus. Extravagant worship is a waste, he was saying. Better to have spent it on the poor, he said, but as John pointed out, it wasn't that he cared for the poor, it was that he cared about the money in the purse. Extravagant worship. Have we ever worshiped extravagantly? Have we ever worshiped prophetically or tenderly or sacrificially? Have you ever used a year's worth of wages as an act of adoration to Jesus? Whenever you do, you'll have critics. Judas is not alone in being critical of those who might worship extravagantly. The world is full of those who say, "Oh, don't waste your money. Don't give to the church. Don't give to that missionary. Don't invest in that thing that God's kingdom expansion work is up to. Spend it on yourself. Keep it in the money bag." But we are called in this text, as we move towards the cross in a week's time, to think about, are we worshipers? Are we worshipers like Martha who serves? Are we worshipers like Lazarus who sits in Jesus' presence? Are we worshipers like Mary who's extravagant and tender and prophetic? Are we willing to put ourselves out there like that? Are we willing to say, Jesus, you're worth it, and I'll do whatever I can in my spot, in my life that you've assigned me to do all I can to worship you by looking around and saying, who can I serve in your name? By figuring out ways we can sit in his presence and enjoy his presence and sit at his feet like Lazarus, or maybe pouring out a year's wages. One more thing to note in this text. It says that as that perfume was poured on Jesus' feet, the aroma of it, the smell of it, filled the room. And I want you to know that that's what happens when you worship. It influences those around you. Everyone in this room was impacted by the powerful aroma of that spikenard, that pure perfume nard. They were forever impacted by it, as it filled their nostrils, as it coated their clothing even, as it filled the atmosphere of that room. And so happens when we truly worship. When you worship, you influence the environment. Because whatever you're doing, whatever you're in the midst of, whatever you're focusing on, does influence you. People know where you've been, unfortunately at times, by the smell you bring with you into the room. If you've been out working in the barn and don't have time to clean up and rush on to an event, people can notice. If you've been out working in the gym and didn't have time for a shower afterwards, people can notice. If you hugged your aunt who puts on that heavy perfume all the time and you leave there, and people say, oh, you visited Aunt Bertha today, didn't you? Because they can smell her perfume on you. Or if you've been to McDonald's, sometimes people say, oh, you were at McDonald's today, weren't you? Oh, yeah, I was. But if we're in the presence of Jesus, it'll linger on us. It'll impact us. And it'll exude from us so that the people around can notice. I invite you to be worshipers, extravagant worshipers. And as you do, you're influencing the community around you. You're inviting others to join you in that valuing of Christ. Again, the setting is just a few days before Jesus goes to the cross. And we recognize all that he accomplished for us on that cross. But in this moment before, this family worships. And in this moment in our lives, we are given the opportunity to worship. To worship him with everything we've got. To worship him extravagantly, to worship him sacrificially, to worship him by sitting in his presence and listening to him, by worshiping him by serving the people around us who are his own. Maybe there's an opportunity this week that Jesus is inviting you to take note of, that Jesus is inviting you to see it as that door opens. Some opportunity to step into and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Tenderly, costly, sacrificially, to worship as you serve. So that the house is filled with the smell, the fragrance of your act of worship. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we're aware that the cross is just a few days in front. We're aware of your sacrifice. We're aware of you being willing to be in that setting, to be marching into Jerusalem, knowing full well that what's being stirred up is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of you becoming the sacrificial Lamb of God. And Lord, as this family took their last opportunity to worship you, we want to be families that take this opportunity and every opportunity to worship you. We want to be like Martha, if that's how you've wired us, and worship you as we serve you and serve your people. give us the opportunity to do so, not with being distracted and concerned about things of the world, but help us to do so as unto you, serving the Lord Christ. And Lord, let us be like Lazarus, who's willing to take time to sit, to listen, to adore, to hear. Give us the ability to open your word, and as we read it, to hear your voice. By the power of your Holy Spirit, cause your word to be a sword inside of us, sharp, active, cutting, mending, restoring, fixing. We want to be in your presence as we worship you. And Lord, enable us to be like Mary. Some of us don't have the hair to do it, but may we have the heart to do it, Lord. May we pour out our perfume upon you. May we be tender and affectionate to you. May we sacrifice as we worship you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.